May the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 393. A crumb of mercy, Lord, I crave, unworthy to be fed with dainties such as angels have, or with the children's bread. 393.
Thank you. Let us read together from the Word of God, the book of Ezra. The book of Ezra, chapter 4, from verse 23 into chapter 5. The book of Ezra, chapter 4, from verse 23. Now when the copy of King Artaxerxes' letter was read before Rehum and Shimshai the scribe and their companions, they went up in haste to Jerusalem unto the Jews and made them to cease by force and power. Then ceased the work of the house of God which is at Jerusalem. So it ceased unto the second year with the reign of Darius, king of Persia. Then the prophets, Haggai the prophet and Zechariah, the son of Iddo, prophesied unto the Jews that were in Judah and Jerusalem in the name of the God of Israel, even unto them. Then rose up Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Jeshua, the son of Jozadak, and began to build the house of God, which is at Jerusalem. And with them were the prophets of God helping them. At the same time came to them Tatnai, governor on this side the river, and Shetha, Bosnai, and their companions, and said thus unto them, Who hath commanded you to build this house and to make up this wall? Then said we unto them after this manner, What are the names of the men that make this building? But the eye of their God was upon the elders of the Jews, that they could not cause them to cease till the matter came to Darius, and then they returned answer by letter concerning this matter. The copy of the letter that Tatnai, governor on this side the river, and Shetha, Bosnai, and his companions, the Arphaxadites, which were on this side of the river, sent unto Darius the king, they sent a letter unto him, wherein was written thus unto Darius, the king, all peace, be it known unto the king that we went into the province of Judea to the house of the great God, which is builded with great stones, and timber is laid in the walls. And this work goeth fast on, and prospereth in their hands. Then asked we those elders, and said unto them thus, Who commanded you to build this house and to make up these walls? We ask their names also to certify thee, that we might write the names of the men that were the chief of them. And thus they returned us answer, saying, We are the servants of the God of heaven and earth, and build the house that was builded these many years ago, which a great king of Israel builded and set up. But after that our fathers had provoked the God of heaven unto wrath, he gave them into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, the Chaldean, who destroyed this house and carried the people away into Babylon. But in the first year of Cyrus, the king of Babylon, the same king Cyrus, made a decree to build this house of God, and the vessels also of gold and silver of the house of God, which Nebuchadnezzar took out of the temple that was in Jerusalem, and brought them into the temple of Babylon. Those did Cyrus the king take out of the temple of Babylon, and they were delivered unto one, whose name was Sheshbaza, whom he had made governor, Zerubbabel, and said unto him, take these vessels, go carry them into the temple that is in Jerusalem, and let the house of God be builded in his place. And then came the same Sheshbaza and laid the foundation of the house of God, which is in Jerusalem. And since that time, even until now, hath it been in building, and yet it is not finished. Now therefore, if it seemed good to the king that there search be made in the king's treasure house, which is there at Babylon, whether it be so, that a decree was made of Cyrus the king to build this house of God at Jerusalem, and let the king send his pleasure to us concerning this matter. We leave the reading there. Amen. Eternal and gracious and merciful God of heaven and earth, help us now to turn aside in the evening hour to seek thy presence and answer prayer concerning this service, and be with a few poor sinners upon the face of the earth. But for how long? That we know not, but Lord, do grant us answers of peace, true tokens that it is well, that thou art with us, and we shall be found amongst thy people to all eternity. And grant, O Lord, those crumbs of which we have been singing of in thy word and truth. We pray, Lord, that thou would open the book and let fall some of those crumbs from the Master's table, and may thy word be precious in our evening hour. Come, Lord, over our sin and unworthiness, and ride prosperously because of truth and meekness and righteousness, and subdue our sin and our unbelief. Lord, we own that we have nothing, but we do see all in a precious Jesus. Lord, we pray that we may have tokens that have been asked for. There may be, Lord, some purpose in thy divine holy will. And there may be, Lord, a time of a blessing from the Lord, of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. And do come, O Lord, and direct our hearts to the person of the Lord Jesus, and grant we may find something in him, although we have nothing in ourselves. Lord, may there be much fullness to us, much reviving and blessing in that glorious man, our heavenly Zerubbabel. We pray, Lord, that thou would remember us with thy presence, and grant, O Lord, there may be knowledge of him, and we may know, Lord, a little sweet exchange of bondage and unbelief, or to a knowledge that thou art that one that is able to do all things, and to grant a blessing, Lord, even unto the ends of the earth. We pray that thou wilt remember seekers, And grant, O Lord, they may be enabled to seek Thee, whom to know is life eternal, until, as we read, they said, we have found Him. We pray, Lord, for the heavy laden, Thou give them rest. Lord, and the desire of our heart is to know the burden bearer, and may we know our sins laid upon Him. And grant, O Lord, sweet knowledge of the Son of God that this world has no knowledge of, and such were some of you. We pray, Lord, for our friends unable to be here. We pray for the brother and pray that Thou be with him where he is. We pray for the deacons, and we seek for the return of our friends, and Thou remember also each case and each need. Lord, there may be those that are disappointed not to be found among Thy people. Go and bless them, Lord, where they are with a sweet visit. Remember the older friends, and Lord, do come and leave a blessing. And may there be much encouragement, Lord, that they have been with Jesus. We pray also, Lord, for the afflicted. And pray, Lord, that Thou wilt be round about them, Thy healing touch. We think especially of our friend and brother Mr. Pont and his dear one awaiting her operation. And we pray, Lord, that Thou hear prayer lifted up. Thou grant Thy blessing upon the means that are used, prepared, and in the purpose of God, may be made a blessing, and do bring her again to a measure of strength, and hear prayer for Thy servants. We pray for each one in the path of tribulation. We desire, Lord, that Thou wilt also remember the young. And Lord, we thank Thee for the safe birth of a little one. And pray also that Thou wilt be with those that wait upon Thee. And grant this blessing, Lord, of spiritual children. And we thank Thee, Lord, for Thy many mercies, and desire to acknowledge Thee in all Thy many benefits to us. But Lord, do we not need Thee to come and visit us with Thy salvation? We read in Thy word, salvation has come to this house, or may we know it, Lord, of a truth. And may we know a little sweet knowledge in our hearts of the child Jesus, heavenly Zerubbabel, the one that is able. And Lord, we do crave that blessing of God upon the service and the singing of Thy worthy praises and the reading of Thy word. Or may we go home this evening feeling, Lord, that Thou hast been with us. The Lord is there. We pray for this house of God. We pray for the dear brethren, and pray for the churches, that Thou art blessed and grant Thy favour upon the hearing of the word, and the Sabbath school too. We think, O Lord, of the need of Thy going in the tops of the mulberry trees, both here and at home, and where'er Thy name, we trust, is faithfully recorded. And we do seek, Lord, that Thou would look down and remember Zion, and grant, O Lord, that sweet reviving. Oh, there are many places that are reviving in Thy word. Oh, may we plead, Lord, that thou revive us again. Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? We pray, Lord, for those in great age and infirmity and thy servants and those unable to preach. And Lord, to grant, we pray thee, that there may be a raising up of the churches. Lord, a sweet knowledge in the hearts of sinners that are able to speak a little of the beginning of grace in their heart. And may there be much direction and blessing ten in thy word. But Lord, we pray also for our land, thou'lt overrule. Remember us, Lord, in this solemn day, when there are so many things that seem to fill us with dismay. And Lord, do overrule, and deliver us from the power of Antichrist. How near it is. And Lord, do grant that thou wilt arise and remember us still. We ask, Lord, also that thou wilt grant thy kingdom may come. Deliver those, Lord, in other lands from the terrible atrocities and loss of life. Lord, we live not in such persecuted times here, but we know not what may come. We pray for others. We seek, Lord, that thou would grant the blessing of God upon thy people, but keep us well. We desire, Lord, to acknowledge thy goodness and pray that as thou dost bless others, may we know the blessing of the Lord descending like dew upon the branch. We too, Lord, may be able to know a little that rejoicing. And we thank thee for what thou hast done. We ask thee yet for more. But Lord, do come, we pray, and leave us not the letter or the word without the power. Grant there may be, Lord, a little sweet moving in our hearts of thy Spirit. And may we be brought onwards on our journey, Lord, that we may know that we have not mistook the way. And thou, Lord, art pleased to be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. Lord, we pray that thou bless the word of thy grace. May it not return void. May we know it in our hearts, the increase of it there. And bless, Lord, each one. We pray for a thankful heart, all thy many mercies and thy deliverances. And we thank thee, Lord, for watching over not a few. And truly, Lord, we have much to acknowledge. And we come amongst the dear friends here, desiring to bless thee, for thou hast preserved and watched over and granted answers of peace. Again we have to say, what hath God wrought? We pray, Lord, that thou art come. May our poor prayers be indicted by the greater, the blessing of him that takes the most poor prayers and puts them in that heavenly way as acceptable for the Most High God, with the savour of his name and the preciousness of his blood and the intercession of our God. We ask, Lord, that thou wilt come. Hear us, and when thou hearest, forgive, for Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 918. Blessed are the poor in spirit, who their native vileness see. They are all taught sin's demerit, gladly own salvation free, and from Sinai to the wounds of Jesus flee. 918.
By the help of God, I will direct you to the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 4. Read there from the second verse. What do these feeble Jews? Book of Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 2. What do these feeble Jews? The whole verse reads, and he spake before his brethren, the army of Samaria, and said, what do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? Desire the help of God to speak from these words especially. What do these feeble Jews? These feeble Jews are God's people. They are those that are known of God, and as much as they know of God and his dealings with them, they are very feeble, especially in themselves. God has a people, we have sung of them, and they're like these feeble Jews. So feeble. And yet, the Lord is pleased to especially remember them in his sacred word. Very briefly, set out the way in which these words are left upon God's word. Some think the book of Ezra and Nehemiah are one book. Indeed, there is one author. You remember how it pleased God to work in the heart of Cyrus. He said, who is there among you of all his people? The Lord is God, be with him, and let him go up. It is a mercy that there was that one, a beautiful type, the Lord Jesus, our heavenly Zerubbabel. Where would these feeble Jews be without such a mighty one? And in the hymn writer, I thought of those words in the 20th hymn of the Lord Jesus. Heavenly Zerubbabel indeed, but lo, he leaves those heavenly forms. The word descends and dwells in clay, that he may hold converse with worms, may it be so this evening, dressed in such feeble flesh as they, and yet Almighty God. The accounts here are of the work of God to his glory, and the bringing again of the people unto their border, and the matter of the blessing of God upon the word of his grace in the fulfillment of it, and all in the hands of Sheshbazzar, or the good man Zerubbabel. May the Lord direct us in the way of his grace to the truth as it is in Jesus concerning his dear people, these feeble Jews, in their souls, that they might know a little building up, a little strengthening. And then I noticed with you again that there was a time when, as we have noticed, the work ceased. And sometimes we may find in our hearts to be very desolate. Wonder if the work of grace is ever begun. Perhaps there may be some like that this evening. And God reveals in his word that it was according to his holy sovereign will. Really it was to make the matter better known, wasn't it? What God would do. How hard to walk in. And so it was, as we read of the ceasing of this work physically, and we think of it spiritually too, then it was a very dark day. Many hearts must have been very sad, many harps on the willow. And then the Lord sent the prophets, a beautiful type of the servants of God, at the time when the Lord would speak to these feeble Jews. The prophets Haggai, Zechariah, there are many sweet things spoken. The heavens are rubbable, aren't they? Concerning the building again of the literal temple and also the wall to be built. Of course, it was firstly that work of Ezra, and then God is not short of a man, is he? He raised up Nehemiah. Perhaps there is a sweet following on. The work ceased, and yet there was promise that God would again further that work. May we know it in our hearts, the furtherance of the gospel. I'll just direct you to the setting of our text. Then rose up Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, Jeshua, began to build the house of God. And again it stirred up, didn't it? The unbelieving Jews, or the enemies of truth. And they sought to overturn it and hinder it. It certainly was so with regard to Nehemiah, again and again. We read in that book of the work of Sanballat and Geshem, or Gashmu, the same person. And the enemies, and the ways in which they sought to hinder, turn back, pretend to be with them. And friends, still these feeble Jews are the God in heaven. And he will prosper. What? He will prosper. But oh, we have a little, friends, of the adversity and the trials of the way, the things that God permits. To the trial of the faith and the trial of their hearts, of these feeble Jews. Many things bring us to the truth of the word here in a spiritual way, but we just notice that this work literally could not be hindered. And soon the Lord touched hearts, didn't he? And he said in the chapter, let the work of the house of God alone, this king, King Cyrus, and the elders, let the governor of the Jews and the elders of the Jews build this house of God in his place. Now, I'm not here to speak some historical or fill the time. Friends, it's what the Lord might bring out of his word, and how he might open it up to feeble Jews, hearts that perhaps are brought very low. A few characters on God's word that can be spoken of as feeble Jews. Perhaps there are some here this evening feel the lines of the hymn, "Our faith is feeble, we confess, we faintly trust thy word. Wilt thou pity us the less, be that far from thee, Lord?" It's a mercy if we're among these feeble Jews. And then my thoughts go to the way in which these words are spoken in a scornful, derisive, mocking and solemn way. And it is like that today, isn't it? Oh, the solemn things that we hear, do not dwell upon them, but still there are those feeble Jews that God helps, supports, enables them to continue. Still there is a lifting up, isn't there, in the gospel of this glorious man, heavenly Zerubbabel. Still the Lord has a family of God, a people for his praise. That how, as we notice, in the way in which God led his people, there were so many things to try their hearts, to bring them low. But let me direct you to the word so well known in Nehemiah. Dear the man of God was brought to look upon the desolations of these feeble Jews many years on from that time when Ezra built the temple. How well known these words are. You see the distress that we are in. How Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. So the matter, just briefly, is this, that the work seemed to be prospering. God had appeared, and again there were these solemn things. Again and again there are things in the hearts and lives of these feeble Jews that almost seem to bring them to nothing and try their faith. And so it may be said, why does the Lord permit these things to come? These characters are known by these distresses, aren't they? Now Jerusalem lieth waste, the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come. Oh, friends, what do we need? That the work of man, the teaching to the head, good in its place perhaps, but no, the living. But these feeble Jews, they want something from their God. They need the Lord to come where feeble Jews are. They need the Lord to come and open his word. Because that's where the Lord meets his people, out of his word. And those crumbs that we have sown off is when there's a little sweet reviving in the heart. Although often we may feel to be in the dust, God is pleased to have a people, but they're called feeble Jews. And I desire to notice then in these chapters the way of God. It wasn't so easy to their hearts and their lives and their calling. There were afflictions and troubles and trials and setbacks and many enemies. Some pretended they were with them and they were not. And others were pleased enough when the work ceased, like the mocking devil when he sees the Lord's people in great distress, when their poor hearts are desolate, and it seems as if God remembers them not. And what a word it is that the Lord gathers together these feeble Jews. What a mercy if we know something of it. Dear Nehemiah said, I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me. As also the king's words that he had spoken unto me, or to be one of those that have been with Jesus, and able to speak a little of things handled, tasted and felt. They took knowledge of them. They had been with Jesus. And as he spoke those things that God, Nehemiah had spoken, spoke those things that God had led him in, the same truths, the same matter, but in a different way, a different time, many years on from Ezra, still this building is to be continued. May we know it in Zion. And as he spoke, he said, let us build up the wall of Jerusalem. And they said, let us rise up and build. Oh, it is by the good hand of God, isn't it? In all his sovereignty, in his dealings, it's the hearts of God's people that need building up in a spiritual way. The Lord to come, although we may feel to be very much like these feeble Jews. Yes, it is what God will do. What, friends, it's the end of a thing, isn't it? It is what the Lord prospers that cannot be turned back. Is what his, what is the heavenly mind and will of God? It matters not what trials there may be. Friends, it is what the Lord will bring through the fire and the furnace, and how he will bless his people as the good hand of God is upon them. We need it in a spiritual way, don't we? The Lord to prosper that work of grace. There are many things in our old hearts that oppose it. Enemies within, without too. The trials, the things we cannot lay straight. I'm sure these feeble Jews could not begin to understand the way of God in a permitting so many things, and the hindering of the work, for instance, and the opposition. But there was a gathering together. And they strengthened their hands for this good work. A sweet type of that unity, isn't it, of the Spirit and the bond of peace. But when Sanballat, the Horonites, and so on, they laughed us to scorn and despised us and said, what is this thing that you do? But I want to hasten. What do these feeble Jews? Oh, it is a text that really, in a very few words, seems to gather up the Lord's people, and they are spoken of here by man in a very disparaging way, but how true they are, feeble Jews, aren't they? They are feeble in their poor hearts. They have to live upon what God sends. They need the word of his grace. The Lord may indeed deal with them in his sovereignty, but you know they're all still these feeble Jews in the eyes of their God. Oh, the Lord grant it if it please him. Now, I want to notice then also that God can turn these things in such a way as there's a blessing in them. Destroy it not. There's a blessing in it. These are the reproaches. These are the things that reveal to us of man and our own wicked hearts. Oh, the things that rise up and the lowness, if I might speak, in the hearts of God's people. And oh, how they need that wisdom which is from above. And they need the Lord, their heavenly Zerubbabel. They need the Lord to prosper the work of grace in their heart. Alas, they're often brought very low. Lord, increase our faith. Those are the feeble Jews, aren't they? Dear disciples. How many times they seem to wonder if the Lord knew what to do. Carest thou not that we perish? How we view many things in God's word that characterizes these feeble Jews as being very poor, with some of them poor and needy. From Genesis to Revelation, we have truth about these feeble Jews, don't we? Well, may the Lord take a few things and grant there may be that turning of those things that are spoken to the blessing and encouragement of God's people. You know, there's some words and places in God's precious word where the words have been spoken by those that know not the Lord. Think of Balaam. Let my last end be like them, the family of God, the feeble Jews. Knew not the Lord Cyrus. What things did he speak concerning the ways that God makes straight? And what the Lord will do? They know not the Lord. And yet God is pleased to use them like the ravens that fed Elijah. Friends, that is how God works in a mysterious way. His wonders to perform. And what God uses and what is in the divine heavenly mind, we seem to lack so much wisdom, don't we? I was listening last evening to a friend, Mr. Pond, speaking from those words, "My grace is sufficient for thee." Really, it ought to have been taken down. Very sober, gracious words. My heart went out to him. And, you know, the Lord grants grace, doesn't he? All sufficient grace to these feeble Jews, full of fear, and often perplexed, like Shushan the city. And brought low because our legal hearts would like to have everything straight and clear and right, and to live our day, for instance, we speak of it like that, we're not a cloud. But what about those trials he sends? Is there anything in the preaching for those feeble Jews that have had a very trying day or a dark day in their souls? That's how God works, friends. He opens a book, doesn't he? And reveals a little of what God is to feeble Jews. May the Lord grant the application of it. But our poor hearts, you know, we often seem to question and wonder. Do you know the Lord hasn't said he'll take away all those hard things, but he gives more grace? Who is sufficient for these things? Our heavenly Zerubbabel. Mishash. better. Well, friends, may we know a little of the wonder working of God in our hearts to grant a blessing that we may not perhaps see the purpose in. I want to hasten in the word of our text. It's a question, isn't it? How full of questions we are. These words were spoken in a very solemn way. They are true, they are. The Lord's people sometimes are exactly in the words of our text. What shall they do? What do? What can they do? What do these feeble Jews? Well, the Lord tries their hearts. You know, friends, it's the work of grace the Lord tries. That faith of God granted in the new birth, that must surely be tried. And there are sometimes great trials to those that perhaps, it just comes into my mind, may have ventured hard. And then it seems that they're tempted that it was all of the flesh. Their poor hearts are sorely troubled. It was so with me when I was able to venture. Oh, the tempter and the power of temptation. Ready to go back. What do these feeble Jews? Well, they need the Lord to come. Need the God of heaven to look down upon them. They can only learn that by being feeble, feeble Jews. Nothing in themselves, but all in Him. No help in self. It might have said, and yet I sought it well. What do these feeble Jews? Now, there are a few characters I want to speak of, if God permit. Those feeble Jews. Think of one, I was thinking this afternoon, although very much in need of the Lord's help to guide my thoughts, that there's a part in Isaiah that stood out to me. And I direct you to it in God's word. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, my judgment is passed over from my God. But especially in the following chapter, Isaiah 41. Now, Isaiah was one of these feeble Jews. I'm sure of it, friends. We do know dishonour to the man. But by grace, the Lord brought him to that chapter. In that chapter, the sixth chapter, the knowledge of his God, to be very low before his God. Woe is me, he said, for I'm undone. My eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. Mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. We'll be a feeble Jew then. Not much to glory in. Not much to think about if we're one of those that brought to the mercy seat. Nothing in ourselves. Now, I was thinking of the dear prophet. In Isaiah 41, let me direct you to the words concerning the Lord and his people in that chapter. In Isaiah 41, 10 and 13, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. It's a good word to these feeble Jews, isn't it? I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee. It's one of those texts that are repeated so much, but it's a very, very precious part of God's word to these feeble Jews. In verse 13, for I am the Lord thy God, I will hold thy right hand. These feeble Jews, the Lord holding them up and holding them by their right hand, as if they are so feeble, so ready to sink, so ready to feel that God has gone out against them with dear Jeremiah in the Lamentations, feeling the Lord has builded against them. Fear not, I will help thee. And it goes on, friends, this is the way in which my thoughts went. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, one of these feeble Jews. Thou worm Jacob. I once heard a man speaking about worms, but I don't think he really felt to be one, if I could judge anything. You know, these feeble Jews, like these worms. Oh, they need the Lord so helpless and so poor. They seem to be going in and out of the earth and their trials and troubles. Fear not. Oh, it needs, doesn't it? That the Lord doesn't send these promises to those that are high and lofty and have need of nothing. He sends them to these feeble ones, to strengthen their hearts, send a word in season, him that is weary, to send his truth right to the heart, that's where the burden lies. These feeble Jews, you know, sometimes they feel to be at the ends of the earth. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel. Oh, it needs the Lord, doesn't it? What do these feeble Jews? Like, if God do not appear. Well, friends, it needs true, real repentance, doesn't it? A spirit of it. It needs the Lord to raise up these dear saints of God through the merit of the Saviour, dressed in such feeble flesh as they. Ah, but still, Almighty God, as we come to this season of the year, would to God that the Lord might reveal this heavenly Zerubbabel for these feeble Jews. And oh, there's a great mystery in it, that ever he should condescend to dwell with man. These feeble Jews are full of sin. Not a little sin, but they're sinners indeed. They only know it as God teaches them and brings them to a knowledge of the Saviour. That's how they know the true nature of sin. Well, some may say you must be careful. No, friends, it's that knowledge of sin and a way of repentance and sorrow for it, as we might know this heavenly Zerubbabel. It's not for man to try and convert nor teach the head of man. It needs the Lord, doesn't it? These feeble Jews know. Ah, that they are poor indeed. They've got nothing in themselves. They're hunted out of themselves sometimes. They're brought to those places where they wonder if God can ever know them and look upon them again. Why? The very word in our text spoken by those that know God, know not God, reveal to us a deeper, more sacred knowledge of the Lord, of his knowledge, these feeble Jews. But really, they are such as were given to him from all eternity. The election of grace. You know, some say they cannot attain to such high doctrine. The matter is this: these feeble Jews will see in election the hope that God may yet appear, that they are brought to plead the name of Jesus, friend of sinners. And they don't plead it with sometimes with much comfort in their heart. They have to go to him. Is there a blessing? Give me a blessing. That's another instance. Esau spoke that knew not God. How God uses it, doesn't he? Give me a blessing. Or is there a blessing for me? It's God may even use, it comes again in my mind, some instance that it is unknown to man at all, but that the Lord speaks through instruments or circumstances, and there's a voice in them. And so the Lord works, as we have said, in mysterious ways. He's still the God of these feeble Jews. But I come again to the doctrine. Why ever the Lord should have mercy and remember these feeble Jews, it's a great wonder, isn't it? It's a good hymn in Denham's. About the wonder. I'm as wonder unto many, thou art my strong refuge. A wonder indeed. There's many lines, I can't quote them, like dear brother John used to speak. Ah, these feeble Jews. They're a wonder to themselves. They're certainly a wonder to the world. You know, the Lord owns these feeble Jews. He remembers them in their lost estate. His loving kindness, oh how great. It's mercy they want. Once it wasn't a matter at all. Now they need his mercy. They can't approach the throne of grace without his mercy. God be merciful. It's a short, sweet prayer, isn't it? One of these feeble Jews. Oh, how God is pleased to empty whom he fills. And then I want to be faithful. We can copy these things left to ourselves and be very pleased with being able to quote and so on. But you know, the Lord drives his people out of such terrible false refuges, and they have to go to the Lord. What a dreadful mass of sin. I think it was John Warburton, wasn't it, that was left to try and curry favour, the dear man was emptied out of his God in a very painful way. It's very sweet to read of God's dealings with that dear man from Trowbridge. Ah, the Lord hunted him out of such dreadful things until he was hardly knew how to stand up, let alone preach. Indeed, he tried to preach and the Lord shut his mouth. But God was still with him. that you could preach better the trial of it. Oh, these feeble Jews, you know, they love a certain sound of the gospel. They love the truth of it, that as God may send it to troubled hearts, or to take of the things of Jesus and reveal them, even unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. And then in the doctrine of it, there's something very precious, that ever the Lord should look upon his dear people from all eternity. The Father gave them unto Christ to redeem. We come to the season of the year, don't we? We especially think of it, but how we need that truth of the Lord. I think for a moment of the matter of his coming. The troubled hearts, weren't there? Joseph and Mary. Feeble Jews. Mary was cast in her mind. And the dear Joseph, he had to hear what the Lord would say. We read, out of Egypt have I called my son, for these feeble Jews. That's where they get to. Far off, the Lord will bring them nigh. He'll remember them. Oh, the glories of Emmanuel. Oh, he is that all-sufficient Saviour, isn't he? And a great one for these feeble Jews. Oh, he speaks in his word that ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. He speaks and speaks to thee, say, poor sinner, lovest thou me? Oh, it needs a heart upright, doesn't it? Oh, it does need the Lord to bring us in by that straight gate. And the Lord counts his sheep into the sheepfold. Some get in, but you know they're not rightly in. But the Lord brings them under the rod, more ways than one. And they're brought, aren't they, through Christ, the door of the sheep. And friends, they're shut in, aren't they? That's election. And they follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. Read of it in John's Gospel. Christ, the door of the sheep. Another sheep I have, shall not of this fold. Then also I must bring. It's good doctrine, isn't it? Sweet truth. Jew and Gentile. And the Lord will bring them by a way that they know not, the paths they have not known. Oh, they, the dear Peter, he wasn't feeble until the Lord dealt with him. The Lord soon taught him. And how sweet the epistles. Oh, what truth he spoke as one of those feeble Jews. Well taught, instructed, able to meet the needs of those dear saints of God as the sound of his master's feet was behind him. Thou savest not the things of God, the Lord said. He didn't leave him, did he? Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. And then the Lord helping me, I want to notice very quickly that it is a word that so much describes the Lord's people. What do these people just like? Let me speak of it like this. Dear Jehoshua said, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. What do these feeble Jews? Oh, men may say this and that, but friends, it is what the Lord will do for them. What and how they're brought to the feet of the Saviour. And then, would to God, there are more feeble Jews, in the essence of it, that needed the Lord because that they were so feeble, and the law of God was so great. And we read of another character, said, what must I do to be saved? To God there was more teaching and knowledge than need of a Saviour. What do these feeble Jews? I'll just touch upon it a little further. But what shall they do? Well, left to ourselves, perhaps we're quite ready to depart and walk no more with him. We've been brought there many years ago, and the Lord touched my heart. Back I had to come amongst the feeble Jews until God would appear and grant me some tokens. And you have to wait. These feeble Jews have to wait for their God. But to God there was more waiting upon him in Zion. Friends, there are those that the Lord meets, and then he instructs and sends them to the backside of the desert. That's how they learn the truths of God. Really, God sent servants there, that they're brought like John the Baptist from the wilderness. Not so the Saviour, full of grace and truth. And yet he must be made like unto the brethren, but so sacred in the fullness of the Godhead. Wonderful, never man spake like this man. And yet, that great high priest that knows and feels his people, these feeble Jews. There are many perplexities and trials that are far beyond our poor understanding, but not his. Jesus knew what he would do. Well, these feeble Jews have to wait upon the Lord, and he will fulfill their hope, if it's a God-given hope. They are brought into the sieve. And friends, there is a reality, the Lord's work upon them. That there is a fruit of humility and love. It isn't borrowed. That they are brought, aren't they? Upon the mercy of God himself. What do these feeble Jews? We must hasten. Friends, it's a mercy if we are truly among them. Amongst those that hear his voice, that enter whilst there's room. Thousands make a wretched choice. Rather starve than come. These feeble Jews are called by grace divine, as I have nothing to do with part man and part God. That God lays in the new heart that desire to know his will and to be found among his people. That we need to draw a very clear line. It's what God has done first. What only he is the author of. That will stand the test, won't it? It is what gives sweet glory unto his name and puts man in the dust. And lastly, I speak of the Lord Jesus. Or how we might perhaps remember again this heavenly Zerubbabel. It's a beautiful part of God's word, isn't it, where we read of this heavenly Zerubbabel. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, thou shalt become a plain. And he shall bring forth the headstone. It's the same as the foundation stone, isn't it? But it is the fulfilling of God's good pleasure. To bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it. The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also finish it, and thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you. I leave a few remarks. May God forgive all amiss. Amen.
Willing, Mr. Tim Parrish is expected to preach next Lord's Day. There'll be a prayer meeting on Monday evening, and Mr. Robert Field is expected to preach next Tuesday evening. Let us close with hymn number 915. Why, O my soul, art thou dismayed? Why in these tents of sorrow groan? On what have thy fond hopes been stayed, still seeking rest, but finding none? 915.
O Lord, do forgive that thy pure eyes have seen and heard amiss. Grant us thy mercy. Prepare us for all thy will. Comfort hearts. Grant knowledge of the heavenly Zerubbabel. Do be mindful of us on the Sabbath day. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with you all. Amen.